All right. Hey, great song. It's a big day here, as I said, at Cross Point. Big day in Indianapolis, right? I see some blue in the crowd. Anybody excited about this afternoon? Yeah. You know, and today, as we kick off this series, we're talking about change. And as that song said, how do I make the change that I need, that I feel that I need? And that's always a big issue. Anybody excited about change in 2015? Anybody want change in 2015? Yeah, a few of us, awesome. I'm glad. I wasn't sure if first hour wanted change. I couldn't tell. But, you know, we're going to look at a story today that has always been an intriguing story to me. In fact, Jesus asks this question, which is very intriguing to me. And the question is this. He says, what is it that you would like me to do for you? And so before we dive into that question and that story, let me pray for us this morning. God, thank you that we can gather in a room like this. And God, thank you for being a God who cares and being a God who wants to facilitate change. God, I ask that we'd be able to not only see that today, but that we would be able to sense it, that we'd be equipped to become different people and to change in the ways that we've decided we want to change and in the ways that you are prompting us to change. God, I just pray that you would help my words to be in alignment with your truth and alignment with your heart today. And I pray these things according to your character and the person of Jesus. Amen. Well, Jesus asked a question, as we're going to see in just a moment, and that question is, what is it that you would like me to do for you? And when I read this question, it kind of goes against a bunch of my religious upbringing, all right? I mean, my religious upbringing, you know, was good, but I always had this picture that God or Jesus, you know, was kind of like a taskmaster. I mean, why in the world would he say, what is it that you want me to do for you? It's almost like he cares about what's going on in your life. And sometimes, you know, in my earlier years, I had this sense that God was this distant, far-off God that really didn't care, really didn't connect. And so if God was going to ask me a question, it'd probably be more like, come on, Kurt, why couldn't you do better? Why couldn't you do better at that? So when I see Jesus ask this question right here, you know, what is it you want me to do for you? I really get this glimpse into the heart of God, into the heart of a God who actually wants to facilitate something new in my life. Now, over the break, I did something new, actually, over the break. I did something I rarely do. In fact, I don't know when the last time I did this. Somebody said to me I should watch this movie, the movie called The Hobbit. And that's what was new. I love movies, but I'm not into fantasy and fiction, all that kind of stuff. But I started watching this movie, and there was a very fascinating scene in this movie because, you know, in the movie, it's about Bilbo, who has the opportunity for change in his life, and all the dwarfs are gathering, and he's trying to decide whether or not he's going to embrace this change. Take a look at this scene from the movie The Hobbit.
I cannot guarantee his safety.
Understood.
Nor will I be responsible for his fate.
Agreed.
Terms, cash on delivery, up to but not exceeding 1/14 of total profit, if any. Seems fair. Present company.
You shall not be liable for injuries inflicted by or sustained as a consequence thereof, including but not limited to lacerations.
Evisceration? Incineration.
Oh, aye, I'll melt the flesh off your bones in the blink of an eye.
You all right, laddie?
Huh? Yeah, I feel a bit faint.
Think furnace with wings.
Yeah, I need air.
Flash of light, searing pain, then poof, you're nothing more than a pile of ash.
Nope.
Very helpful.
I'll be all right. Just let me sit quietly for a moment.
You've been sitting quietly for far too long. Tell me, when did doilies and your mother's dishes become so important to you? I remember a young hobbit who was always running off in search of elves in the woods.
He'd stay out late. Come home after dark, trailing mud and twigs and fireflies.
A young hobbit who would have liked nothing better than to find out what was beyond the borders of the Shire. The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins of Bagend.
You are also a Took.
Did you know that your great-great-great-great-uncle, Bulrora Took, was so large he could ride a real horse?
Yes, well, he could.
In the Battle of Green Fields, he charged the goblin ranks. He swung his club so hard, it knocked the goblin king's head clean off, and it sailed 100 yards through the air and went down a rabbit hole. And thus the battle was won. And the game of golf invented at the same time.
I do believe you made that up.
Well, all good stories deserve embellishment.
You'll have a tale or two to tell of your own when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
That's what I thought. Sorry, Gandalf, I can't sign this. You've got the wrong hobbit.
Man, what a great, great scene. This idea that if I take a step towards something in the new, I'm going to come back changed. And I love that line that Gandalf kind of spins off to him. He says, you know, let me think about this for a moment. Let me wait. He says, you've been sitting for far too long. You know, I think for some of us, as we get into the beginning of this new year, you know, that phrase, we've been sitting for too long. What is it that we've been sitting on for too long? Because, you know, whenever we change, there's an adventure in that. And we're not really talking about adventure today. Though, whenever we get rid of something in our life that's been in our life and we try something different, there's something uncomfortable about that. Whenever we add something new to our life that we feel prompted to add, there's an element of adventure in that. And so Bilbo here is going from this idea of being challenged with stepping into something new that he's never experienced, and he's not sure he wants to step in because he likes the comfortable. See, whenever we change, whatever it is, whether it's dropping a vice or adding a friendship or adding, you know, a new expenditure or mentally, you know, beginning a new discipline, whenever we change, it's uncomfortable. Because we're in new territory. And the good news for us on this today is, you know, when we look throughout the Bible, I mean, from beginning to end, we see that God shows up in change. God is always showing up in the change. I mean, he starts a new nation. God starts the nation of Israel and starts something brand new. He shows up by instigating, you know, a prophecy or a new word to his people. And he says, now I want you to begin to live this way. I want you to change and become this kind of people. Or people trying to change and grow, he says, I'm actually going to give you my spirit that actually comes and allows you to let the change begin to take place. And see, here's the thing. If you're not about change, God's not going to be about you, right? Ooh, that kind of sounded harsh, didn't it? Let me say it again. If you're not about change, God is not going to be about you. Now let me clarify that for a moment. What I'm not saying God's not going to like you. Right? I'm not saying that you're going to end up in a very bad place for eternity. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if we want the presence of God, then we've got to embrace change because that's where God is. God is always in the place. We see it again and again throughout the Bible. God is always in that place where change is happening. And so let's take a look at this question that I've mentioned a few times that Jesus asks. It comes in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Here's what it says. It says, and they, meaning Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Great, great story right here. Four big ideas I want us to take in on this today. Number one, people who change want to change. People who change want to change. Think about this. If 2014 was any different for you than 2013, it was because in some way you instigated change. Now, I'm not talking about getting laid off. I'm not talking about getting right-sized. I'm not talking about maybe, you know, you dealt with some, you know, illness, some life-threatening illness of some kind. You know, all of us have to deal with change that comes at us. But if 2014 was different because we said, I want to instigate change, I want to be very intentional about doing something differently, And it actually began to take root, it's because you value change. And if 2014 was just like 2013, or you didn't instigate any change, likely you don't value change. I mean, it's weird to me. It's really weird. It's weird to me how you know, people in the church and people who believe in the Bible actually really struggle with change. I mean, the Bible's all about change. I mean, it should actually be the opposite. And so here's a guy. Here's a guy. Let's call him Blind Bart, just for, you know, ease sake. So Blind Bart, not to be confused with Black Bart. You may have watched A Christmas Story over the holidays. If you watch, you know, Christmas Story multiple times, you may have seen Black Bart, who, you know, Ralphie and his little Red Rider, you know, double pump, action BB gun with the compass and the stock, whatever it is, you know. He, Black Bart is the guy in his fantasy that he has to defend off and save his family of, right? You know, but not Black Bart. We're talking Blind Bart right here. Blind Bart has been blind for we don't know how long, all right? And he's blind, he's not doing well, and he wants something different. He wants to instigate some kind of change. And so he hears that Jesus is in the area. He doesn't see Jesus because he can't see, but he hears that Jesus is somewhere in the area right here, and he starts calling out. He starts calling out, Son of David, come help me. Son of David, come have mercy on me. Now we get a little bit of a clue right here as to who he thinks Jesus is, because he refers to him as Son of David. Now, that was a messianic term. Jesus, you know, he's kind of recognizing that this Jesus is more than just a teacher. He's more than just a good moral example. You know, this perhaps is the awaited one, the Messiah. All right, so he's calling out because, see, all the prophecies had said that the Messiah would come from the line of David. So he's calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's exactly what Jesus was. And in essence, he's saying, I recognize that Jesus, you're different. Jesus, you have power that other people don't have. Jesus, there's something about you that I want. Come, have mercy on me. And he's not happy with where he is voluntarily, or where he is. So voluntarily, he decides to instigate some change. He says, I want to be different. I don't want to be blind anymore. Let's go on in the story. It says, and Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. So first, we kind of have this picture of blind Bartimaeus. He's standing there, he's kind of slurring, Jesus, Son of David, come have mercy on me. And somewhere in the crowd, Jesus is there, and there's all kinds of people, and amidst the bustle and the buzz of the crowd, Jesus hears somebody saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so, you know, Bartimaeus' friends are like, hey, shut up, don't say anything, don't bother Jesus. But he just keeps calling it out. Says they rebuked him, he keeps calling it out. Jesus hears this over the crowd, and he says to his friends, hey, who is that? Go find him and bring him to me. And so we can picture in our minds, it's like Bart's friends go over and they're like, dude, Jesus wants to see you. So they go up and pick him up and start, well, he's not paralyzed or anything. I mean, they start like walking him, you know, leading him to Jesus, and probably has some enhanced sense of smell or hearing or something, you know, because usually people who are blind have other senses that are much more enhanced than yours and mine. But, you know, let's say he can't smell Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus smells like. So he doesn't know when he's going to be there in the presence of Jesus. His friends are guiding him to Jesus, just following through on what Jesus asked them to do. And what does Jesus say when he sees him? See, blind Bart doesn't see Jesus because he can't see, right? So, but Jesus sees him. And what takes place here gives us a glimpse into this caring heart of God that actually wants to empower us to change. I mean, why this dude? I mean, why this blind guy? I mean, Jesus probably passed by all kinds of blind guys, you know, getting into Jericho. I mean, he probably passed through all kinds of invalids and people, you know, paralytics sitting on the side of the road. Why blind Bart? Well, I think it's because he's calling out to him. He's actually showing that he wants change. And here's the money line of the day right here. Verse 51. It's for Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You might think to yourself, man, obviously, Jesus is not the sharpest knife in the drawer right here, right? I mean, he's blind. What do you think he wants to do, Jesus? He's blind. Why are you asking him this question? Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's possible that blind Bart may have had a big tumor on his spine, and that tumor was creating an excruciating pain for him. He couldn't even stand up. The tumor was impending on his spine, and every time he tried to get up, it was so painful, and maybe the tumor was more of an issue than the blindness. Or maybe blind Bart had a friend who had a critical illness. And maybe this friend was the guy that took him places, that enabled him to be mobile and to go different places. And he wanted Jesus to heal his friend. We don't know. You know, there's any number of reasons that blind Bart could have been calling out to him. In this particular case, you know, he chooses to say exactly what people, you know, think he's going to say. And so, you know, and right here we see Jesus coming, not as a taskmaster, not kind of like, hey, can't you do better? You know, Jesus didn't come and, you know, bring in as a giver of new rules. He's not trying to get them to, you know, toe the spiritual line. You know, he's giving us a glimpse of God's heart, of a heart that actually wants to help people change. And somehow we have this weird dichotomy when it comes to God. Have you ever noticed that? We have like the God of the New Testament in the form of Jesus. And it's like lovey-dovey Jesus, hippie Jesus, peace, love, you know, everything's fun. And Jesus all flowery. And then in the Old Testament, we have kind of like fuddy-duddy, you know, God who smites people. And he's always angry with people. And it's almost like we see God having a personality disorder. You know, see, God's personality doesn't change. I mean, he creates a lot of change, but his core character does not change. In fact, in the New Testament, we see sometimes Jesus, you know, being very intense. We see Jesus being very angry. You know, we also see in the Old Testament, God the Father, you know, also being very gracious and very generous and very caring and very loving. In fact, one of those places is in Psalm 81. We see King David is in the lineage of Jesus. And King David's writing in his prayer journal, and God says something to King David, and King David writes it down. And here's what he writes. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so this is kind of like God saying, hey, remember me? Remember me? I'm the one that actually took you out of bondage in Egypt. I'm the one that actually delivered you from slavery in Egypt. And he's like, now listen, I've got more good news. Get ready for it. He's like, I want you to open up. Open your mouth wide, and I've got more to bring your way. I mean, it's almost like he's like, I really lied. I got a whole lot of luck here. I want to put here out. You're open wide. And you guys are dead this morning. I mean, I'm like working my noogies off up here trying to get you to connect with this, all right? Did you understand anything I just said? Anything? Give you some moisturizer. That's a little rough on the lips. So what he's saying, it's like a bird in a nest. It's like a little bird in a nest. He's like, open up. He's like, I've got more I want to put into your life. He's like, I got more. And that's exactly what he does. It's exactly what he does. Second big idea. God wants people who want change. God wants people who want change. See, Jesus could have invited any number of people over in that crowd. I mean, he could have invited the best dressed person over. He could have invited the person with the highest ranking position over. But see, here's what's interesting. They probably weren't the ones who wanted change. Jesus is drawn to blind Bart because Bart is expressing that he has a desire to change. And they weren't expressing necessarily a desire to do anything different. They were interested in just doing the same old, same old. But there was different. There's something different about the guy. Blind Bart, something different about him. He's like crying out. His buddy's like, hey, shut up. He's like, no, I need to tell Jesus. I want something different. See, I'm just saying that if you and I don't embrace new things, right? If we are not about eliminating certain things from our life, if we're not about adding certain things that God might be prompting, you know, to take place in our life or to build into our life, I just think God may not want to be around us. Right, God, I don't think God's going to show up. Now, again, let me give you a little context on this right here. You know, I'm not saying God will leave you or forsake you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're going to end up in the center of the earth in a really hot place. Not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is if we're not about change, we're not going to be in the place God is. Because God is always in the place of change. And sometimes we think that, you know, life is about God validating our decisions and our ideas and God, here's what I want. And so just validate, tell me I'm good, tell me I'm perfect, you know, whatever I'm doing is good. You know, and I just don't think God brings much power to that. I don't think God brings power to validating ourselves. I think God brings power when we say, you know, there's something that I want different that helps me align my life more with what God wants for me. I think that's where God brings his power. And that's what happens with blind Bart. Blind Bart, he cries out, and God actually gives him power because change is difficult. I mean, think about that for a moment. How much of you did you change in 2014? Just think through that for a second. You know, probably not much because change is hard. George Carlin, he put it this way. He said, I put a dollar in one of those change machines, and nothing happened. That's supposed to be funny. I put a dollar in one of those. He's like, I want to see change. I'm going to put a dollar in. And he got the same amount back, you know, maybe a different form. You know, if change was as easy as a self-help seminar or just, you know, buying the next bestseller, you know, everybody'd be doing it. But it's not. Change is a hard, difficult, arduous task. So I want to prime the pump on this. I can see I need to prime the pump on this a bit this morning, all right? So I want to help you come to the place. You can take out your phones. This is where we're going to use our phones right now. So take out your phones, and I want us to come to the place where we can begin to tap in the power that God wants to give us, and we're going to answer the question that Blind Bar answered electronically. All right, and so here's the number. I want you to text to the number 25827, and then the keyword you need to put in the text line is change 2015. And then after that, I want you to put the answer in there. If Jesus were asking you in 2015, what is it that you want me to do for you? All right, Tracy, in 2015, what is it you want me to do for you? You know, Brian, in 2015, what is it you want me to do for you? Yeah, that's your answer, all right? In 2015, you know, I'm priming the pump a little bit. I want you to think through this, all right? Coy, in 2015, if Jesus were saying, what is it you want me to do for you? What would your answer be? All right, go ahead and text that in. All right, I'm trying to get you to moving on this. And as you're doing this, I'm gonna tell you a little bit of a few of the things I've been thinking through, because I've been kind of working through this myself over the last few weeks. And I'm not going to tell you all the things that I'm looking for God to do in 2015, because some of them might be a bit inappropriate for me to share. But I want to give you a couple of them. So one of mine is I want to see an increase in the spiritual fervor of my family. All right, now, I'm not worried about the eternal destiny of my family or anything like that. I just want to see an uptick in the prayer conversation, the serving one another, the not complaining when I have him asked to do, you know, all the things that are about serving and creating better community in my home. I just want to see an uptick in that. I want to see something new and different in 2015. Kids, take note. We just talked about this the other night. And now, another thing I want to see. Another thing I want is, I was telling God the other day that I think I want to see our cars sustained through 2015, all right? Because, you know, I believe our cars need to make it through 2015. I was about this close to buying a new SUV earlier this fall, and I was having some problems with mine, and my wife said the magic word. She said, well, maybe it's time to get a new one. Really? Yeah, I mean, those are dangerous words, wives, just so you know. And so I spent hours researching, and here's what I discovered. I thought, man, with the gas prices at the time, if I got a vehicle that just got 22 miles a gallon, I was going to save over $200 a month in gas. I'm like, man, that could almost be a half a car payment. And so I was very close. Then gas shot down, and now I love my car, you know, because it's only cost me $38 to fill the whole thing up the other day. So I just came to the place saying, you know, God, I don't know if God cares about these things, but this is what I'm asking. Because I don't want to take on a car payment. I don't want to take something else on, because I want to put those funds into building into some other things. And so that's one of my things I'm asking. Third thing I'm asking God for is to give us more regular givers at Crosspoint in 2015. Now, I'm not asking, you know, God to prompt those who are already giving to give more, but I'm asking for God to, you know, prompt people who are not financially engaged to get engaged financially. Why am I asking that? Well, a couple reasons. First and foremost, because I believe when we financially give, God grows us. I believe it's one of the greatest forms of spiritual growth. So when I see people begin to give, I say, man, there's something happening there. There's some growth happening there. Another reason is because we're beginning to pay down our debt. And I want to see us have as little debt as possible, long-term debt as possible. And I want to, at the same time, free up more capacity to put a broader reach and be a greater blessing to people in our community. And did you realize nearly 1,100 people attended Christmas Eve services at Crosspoint here 2 weeks ago? Isn't that awesome? 1,100 people. That was very exciting for us. And now that we're in a building, it's easy to settle. Just be like, oh man, we're here. And I don't want us to settle. I mean, we're already beginning to process, you know, what it looks like to add another service, to add another site, to add another location in another state, you know, Crosspoint somewhere else, because we believe that God is prompting us to expand our reach. In fact, I was just, you know, kind of processing the other day, how cool would it be if we had 2,000 people walk through our doors at Easter? You know, three and a half months, we had 2,000 people walk through and hear the message of Easter. Wouldn't that be cool? Some of you are like, no, that wouldn't be cool at all. I mean, that's change. I don't want change. I mean, somebody's going to take my seat. You know, these are just some of the things that I'm kind of asking God for in 2015. All right, so now, Let's take a look at some of the things that you are asking God for in 2015. I'm going to pull up your responses. I can't put them on the screen. And some of you are like, holy cow, I didn't know he was doing this. I just got logged out, so let me log in here. All right, here we go. So you can keep texting. You can keep texting. These don't have your names on them. I'm not going to, like, you know, if somebody says, hey, I wish my husband Bob, you know, would I'm not going to share that, just so you know, okay? You're safe on this. All right, so here's a few things that came in. I want to see myself the way God sees me more in 2015. I want to be more generous with my time and waste less of it on TV. I think God wants to empower you in that. I really do. Whoever sent that in. I want to improve as a leader, grow spiritually in my relationship with God. I think God wants to come alongside and empower that change. I want to pay off debt, number one. Two, see less stress over money. Three, improve my health so I can work again. And four, find a new career and have kids that are more appreciative. Man, I think I wrote that one. No, I don't want the new career part, but the appreciative part is where I'm going. See, these are awesome. I mean, this is the stuff that God comes alongside and begins to empower. He empowers this. Third big idea. Here's the key. See, I'm priming the pump with, you can still send it in, all right? That number, you can use it in our whole service. Third big idea. See, we see this with blind Bart, and we see this with anybody who's had any significant change in their life, and it's the role of speaking. The role of speaking. Speaking what we are wanting is key to change. See, it's something to text something in. It's something to journal. Some of us are journalers, and you're going to journal about your change. But listen, I tell you, there's something. If you changed in 2014, it's because in some way, shape, or form, you were very, very intentional to share with somebody else the change that you wanted to see. See, sometimes we think, man, I'm going to have this private resolution. I'm going to lose 15 pounds. I'm going to get rid of this in my life. I'm going to add that to my life. And this is just going to be between me and God. You know, it's just me, myself, and God. And if you're doing that, I can tell you how much is going to change. Nothing. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. I mean, just do a self-analysis for a moment of 2014. How many things that you didn't share with anybody else actually changed? See, we only change when we're intentional about going out on our own, not getting caught, all right? Sometimes we share things when we're caught. I mean, going out on our own intentionally and saying, hey, here's something I want to change in 2015. So that's how it was for blind Bartimaeus. He said, man, I want to receive my sight. He's like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I want to receive this. And I don't know why this is. I don't know if it's because there's a link between what we say and how we behave. I don't know if there's something about when we say, I want to change in 2015 and I want it to look like this, and because I say it, it's going to be. I don't know if there's something about that or if it's just plain old, good old-fashioned accountability. About when I say to one of my friends, hey, in 2015, here's some of the things I want to change in my life, and then I know the next time I see them, they're going to say to me, Kurt, you know, tell me a little bit about how that's working for you right now. It's good old-fashioned accountability. I'm just saying, you know, if you want to change something in 2015 and you think, man, I'm going to keep it private, I'm not going to share it with anybody, you're not going to change jack in 2015. It's going to be the same. So let's look at a couple categories that we might want to change in. God's very holistic in this approach. So, you know, one thing he might want to change is something physical. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Intellectual. God, for some of us, this is going to be a year where we expand intellectually. God actually will empower you if that's what you feel like you're supposed to do. I mean, you know, expand your mind, grow, you know, take a class, get a degree, begin a new trajectory in your career, whatever it might be. You know, spiritual change. Spiritual change is when we become more in line with God's way of life, right? We become more aligned with the way God designed us to live. You know, if you have any aspirations in that area, God will empower that change. Emotional change. Do you realize God cares about your emotions? In fact, one of the biggest verses in the Bible is the smallest one where it says Jesus wept. I mean, you know, Jesus actually cried. When's the last time you cried over something? I mean, Jesus actually cares about our emotional state. Next, relationally. Relationally. I read recently that every year, between December, end of December, and end of February, there is a 25% spike in websites like Match.com. Because everybody that doesn't have a spouse wants to find a spouse. It's kind of this like thing, resolution or whatever, which is nothing wrong with that. I just think sometimes relationally when we see that, we think, well, I'm married, or if I'm not married, it's all about finding a spouse. I think this one may really be about finding and being a better friend. You know, I think sometimes one of the greatest spiritual disciplines we can do is actually growing into what it means to be a great friend. See, here's what I've discovered. I talk to people all the time that are frustrated or trying to find a spouse, and I've discovered that somebody who hasn't spent the time developing good friendship traits like sacrifice and being a part of a team and not always having to have your way, that there's actually a reciprocal relationship where we actually serve one another and sacrifice for one another as friends. See, if you can't do that as a friend, your marriage is going to suck. Right? It's just always the case. Sometimes everybody thinks marriage is a silver bullet. It's gonna be so fulfilling. But if you can't work out the friend side, you know, what it means to be a good friend, then you know, you're going to struggle in the relational side. It's just always that way. Last one, financial. It's just a handful. You know, God cares about your finances. Do you realize that in the New Testament, God talks more about finances than he does about prayer and loving others combined? I mean, God actually cares about the state of our finances. So as we look at these, I want to break a few of these out, but I don't have time, so let me look at physical for a moment. You know, the physical, God cares about the physical. Maybe there's something physical you want to change in 2015. You know, God cares about that. Blind Bartimaeus has a physical issue going on, all right? He can't see. And Jesus says to him, what is it that you want me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus says, hey, I want to see. I don't want to have this disability anymore. Jesus didn't go, wrong answer. If you would have said, oh, I want to deepen my prayer life, well, I could do that for you. Or, man, if you could make one of those angels dance on the head of a pen, that would be awesome. No, why do we always think God doesn't care about the physical? He actually cares about the physical. And see, one of the problems with the physical, now here's where we get into the problem mode. One of the problems with the physical is that physical change, short of there being a physical touch of God, where God physically touches us and heals us and brings the change immediately, which can happen and sometimes does happen. Some of you will experience that in this upcoming year, but most of the physical change that we want to have happen in 2015 is not going to be as a result of the touch of God. It's going to be a result of us changing the way we live. All right, God's going to empower us as we change the way we live. And hopefully, God brings us some level of grace as we make this change. And hopefully even right now as we're talking about this, and I'm not saying God can't touch and just immediately change things, but a lot of times God changes things because of the way we begin to align our lives with him. Friedrich Nietzsche said this. He said, the essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction. Thereby results and has always resulted in the long run something that has made life worth living. Now, if you know anything about Nietzsche, he definitely was not a God-honoring guy. He definitely didn't follow the Bible, and yet he says something very biblical right here. What he says is discipline is a long obedience in the same direction. Change is a long obedience in the same direction. That's what discipline is. It's when I choose something, I begin to walk it out in the long run. And I begin doing it over and over and over again. Some of us, you know, we've already made resolutions. We're saying, oh, I want to drop 20 pounds this year. So I'm gonna run 5 miles 3 days a week. I'm gonna lift, you know, weights, you know, 2 days a week. I'm gonna not eat cake after 8 o'clock. I'm gonna eat vegetables from 9 to 4 every day. You know, listen, just pick one. All right, you're gonna do that for a week and you're gonna hate your life. All right, it's gonna suck. You're gonna be like, man, why am I doing this? I like being fat. You know, but when you pick one thing, when you pick one thing and you say, well, I'm not gonna eat cake after 8 o'clock. And you do that for the long haul, a change will begin to happen. You know, when you say, I'm going to run 2 miles 3 days a week, and you do that in the long run, you know, the long obedience in the same direction, we begin to see change take place. Last big idea, people who change, work change. People who change, work change. Have you ever noticed that? People who change, they work it. They don't change just once, but they begin a pattern of ongoing change. Look at what happens with blind Bart. This is what happens with him. He says, hey, I've got my sight. All right, great, done. What does he do next? Take a look. Verse 52. It says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now, the key words here are followed him on the way. I mean, what would you do if you had never seen before and all of a sudden, you receive sight? Now, we don't know if he's ever seen before. We don't know how long his blindness had been. All right, but what would you do if all of a sudden you can see, you could not see, and now you can see for the first time, what would you do? You'd be like, I can see. I'm going to go down that new strip club. I've been curious about what happens in there. I've never been able to see stuff like that. No, you know, he doesn't do that. He says he wants more change. He's changed. He can see. And then it says he begins to follow him on the way. He got changed. He's like, he's not like, good, now I can go back to the things I was doing or check out everything I was curious about. He's like, no, I want more change. I want to stay close to the one who changed me because I want to experience more of this and more of this. Now, I don't want to geek you out as I close right here, all right? But I'm going to geek out the Greek on this for a moment, all right? Because this is really cool. This is cool. The tense of this phrase right here is really cool. It's called the ingressive imperfect tense. And I just want to read to you from the Greek syntax. Instead of explaining it to you, I'll read to you what that means. It says, the ingressive imperfect tense is especially used in a narrative literature when a change is an activity in an activity is noted. It introduces a topic shift. How cool is that? It's a change that introduces a topic shift. See, blind Bartimaeus, he changed. He can now see, and all of a sudden, his life has a topic shift. All of a sudden, his life shifts because there was a power that allowed him to change, and he says, I want more of that. I want more of that. So I get excited every time we talk about change. This is why we always start with the change series at Crosspoint, because I love that we actually have the ability to change, and God has the power to help sustain it. I love this. And there are things that I know you want in your life in 2015. There are things I know God wants in your life in 2015. And it's going to make for a better year. And as those begin to happen, and as God's power begins to bring those about, these become a precursor or in a sense, a definer that there's been a topic shift in our life. So I think God wants to take those of us who think, you know, I'm fine the way I am. I don't need to change it. I think he actually wants to help us see that we can actually grow and learn something new. I think God wants to take those of us that are all about, you know, building our security and gathering my resources around myself and being more satisfied, more content to actually, you know, building into other people and taking what I have to bless other people and to help, you know, bless the kingdom. I think God wants to make that shift. I think God wants to take those of us who are in the same old rut of 2013 was like 2014, 2015 is probably going to be like 2000. I think God wants to take us on an adventure. How cool is that? He actually wants to take us to a new place. But we have to start. So, as we start this series, let's take out our connection cards. And on the back side are some next steps. And these are key. What's key isn't the data that's on here, the content that's on here, as much as that we intentionally say, you know, God, I'm gonna take a step to begin a new trajectory today. And whatever you texted in earlier, or whatever you wished you would have texted in, whatever's on the front of your mind, God actually wants to empower you. And that's based on the assumption that's something that brings more health and wholeness to you and that is in alignment with what God's design is for you. I mean, sometimes we want things that aren't in alignment with God, and sometimes it's a rude awakening when we realize maybe God's not gonna bring that about. I believe God wants to empower the change and start it right here today. So as you read through these next steps, I just want you to process, you know, what's my step this week? Maybe it's getting in a small group that's coming up as we kick these off here in a few weeks. And so I'm going to be in community. I've never been in community with people, but, you know, there's power that happens when you get alongside people who are wrestling through things like you are and heading in the same direction. There's power in that. So let me pray for us as we process what this means for us. God, thank you for every life in here today. I thank you for every opportunity we've had to become more like you, to change. And I thank you, God, that you're a God who does give power. And that, and in fact, you just gave power to us today. You gave us some insights that we wouldn't have had had we gone somewhere else this morning. We wouldn't have had had we stayed in bed. We wouldn't have had had we done something else. And so we need to interpret that this morning as a form of power. And so, God, I thank you for your faithfulness. And as we head into 2015, I am just excited about the change you're going to bring about in those of us who want the change. And so, God, as we think about our next step and we mark it, we declare it on this little paper right here, God, may this be the first step to us starting a new trajectory. And God, as we sing here, God, just remind us, God, that you don't give up on us. You don't give up on us, regardless of where we've been, what we've done, how much inconsistency we've had, that you do not give up on.